Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio mobile today at Consol Energy Center, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team will take on Duquesne. Penn State comes with a record of 7-3, game they need to have. And Duquesne trying to build, get better. They're 3-3 under Jim Ferry, and they have completely transformed the roster with nine different players compared to the one that Penn State saw a year ago. Kevin is on board. I am here in Pittsburgh, where Mike Tomlin's name has surfaced for the Texas job.
Yeah, that's a whole different story all by itself, is that Texas situation.
Well, it surfaced.
Somebody it's needs to tell here. Mack Brown that he may be out of a job. I don't think he knows yet.
Well, I think he does know. I think he knows one way or the other. Now, as of right now, ESPN's reporting he's poised to step down. The Texas football banquet is Friday night. I think one way or the other, obviously by Friday we'll know one way or the other what the deal is with Mack Brown and Texas. So we'll know one way or the other. Now what do you do with it? You have to remember what the situation is at Texas. And when you look at Texas, think of the time between Darryl Royal and Mack Brown. Kevin knows complete history of sports, so he can tell you right now. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I'm well up on Texas football.
Okay, fine. Let's just do it my way then.
All right.
No. But think about it. Fred Akers, he took over for Darryl Royal. The first season Fred Akers had as the head coach with the Darryl Royal roster, and they've been a 500 team when Darryl Royal retired. Remember, Darryl Royal and Frank Broyles coached against each other one final time. I'm going to say 1976 was the last year for Darryl Royal. And then Frank Broyles, same thing for him. Texas won the game. And then in 77, Fred Akers takes over, and they went 11-0 to start, and they were on a roll. But then they lost what would have been essentially for them the national championship. Well, after that, things slipped down. Then they went with, I believe, David McWilliams. And that didn't go well. And then they went to John Makovic. And the best season Makovic had was when they beat Nebraska during that run by Nebraska, got to the Fiesta Bowl, but then Joe and Penn State beat them. Shafi Fields ran that 82-yard reverse to start the second half. And that was a good Texas team. Who was on that Texas team? How about Ricky Williams? Priest Holmes. The quarterback was James Brown. But again, after that, boom, nothing. Makovic's out. They hire Mack Brown. Mack Brown brought them to the national championship in 2005, and he had one more shot at the national championship, but Colt McCoy got hurt in, what, the third play of the game. Quarterbacks mean a lot to what you have success-wise in today's game. It just means a lot. You think about where Texas is now, and relate it to their quarterback situation. When Makovic had success, James Brown was a really good college quarterback. Now, Penn State neutralized Brown, Priest Holmes, and Ricky Williams that night in the Fiesta Bowl back in 96. But then after that, who were the Texas quarterbacks until Vince Young then came in and took charge, and they won the national championship in 2005, beating USC in the Rose Bowl? Then with Colt McCoy at quarterback, good college quarterback, you know, and probably a career backup in the NFL, but still a good college quarterback, they had success. When he hasn't had quarterbacks, or they've been trying to get some sort of mix at quarterback, they haven't had the same kind of success. They have a lot of athletes across the board, and we know what kind of struggle they've had defensively. But Now, at Texas, with the Longhorn Network, who do you hire? They're awash in cash. There's no question about that. You want to talk about mega green. The University of Texas is loaded with paper. Oil paper. And not only that, but you have two major sports that garner money for you, which are the same two sports that garner money for you everywhere. Football and men's basketball. And Texas does get a bigger cut of the Big 12 TV money than the other schools. Plus, they have the Longhorn Network, which, by the way, is not making money yet. But they only have 14 sports at Texas. So the expenditures are not the same as they are at other schools. They have 17 fewer sports than Penn State. That's why. So Texas brings in a lot of money on its own, has a big donor list, and Mack Brown was brilliant at cultivating that donor list. His people skills are said to be outstanding. And they say it's one of the reasons he's been able to stay as long as he's stayed despite some ups and downs recently. And I know Joe Paterno thought very highly of Mack Brown. Joe had a winter in which he was not feeling well at all, but that winter when he wasn't feeling well at all, he still found time to get on a plane when they were doing a tribute to Mack Brown and get down to Austin to be there for it. That tells you a lot about what a lot of people think about Mack Brown, including what Joe thought about him. So, Texas, the big question you always have to ask when you're... The one thing about Mack Brown I don't like, though, okay? I don't like how he has sacrificed his staff over the years in order to keep his job. I think you need to stand firm at some point, and you need to look at people who are trying to push you around and say, hey, look, I know my business. These are the guys I want with me. Just stick with us and give us some time. Now, patience is not a byword, and is not a word that we use often in sports. Yet it's one of the more important words in sports. Patience is very important in sports. And yet, almost everybody around it is impatient. Media is impatient. Fans are impatient. Athletic directors and staff are impatient. Even coaches are impatient. We talk about a great running back and how a great running back has patience. We talk about a point guard, how a great point guard has patience. Patience and sports don't usually go well together, even though patience is very important in sports. We're at Consol Energy Center. Penn State and Duquesne coming up this evening at 7, following Santa. Yes, we are not going to bypass Santa. We will go directly from S. Claus to S. Jones at 7 o'clock.
And they don't follow Correct? Each other in the phone book either.
No, they don't. So Santa, this is a tradition that dates back over 70 years.
Actually, we talked about that this morning as we talked about the 80th anniversary, Steve. It goes back to 1933, the origination of the station.
So this is an 80-year tradition of having Santa on.
That is correct.
I mean, do you realize there's no other station in America that Santa has committed to for 80 years? He blows off other stations, not this one.
It may actually be the longest-running children's program in the country. It definitely is in the state.
I got a...
So, again, that will be happening tonight on WKOK and WKOK.com, preceding Steve and Dick Girardi from the Consol Energy Center for Penn State and Duquesne. And we'll get in with Steve as the Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile in just a few more minutes. But first, it's time for Inside Penn State Athletics.
For a quality pre-owned vehicle, well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Chevy Equinox Limited, the most affordable crossover, just $22,996. 2010 Ford Explorer XLT, new tires, new brake linings, just $21,997. A Pontiac Torrent GXP, four-wheel drive, peace of mind, $15,554. 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, fully serviced, $17,498. And a sporty, like new, Subaru Impreza sedan, under 8,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $27,495. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
He sent me an email saying it would have stood. I'm telling you right now, it was a forward lateral. I mean, I think, to be frank with you, I'm going to be dead serious here.
All right.
It's embarrassing the NFL put that out. It is forward. It is obvious when you saw it was forward. It goes forward at least a yard and a half. Seriously, I know you got a dog in the hunt. I got
it.
I don't understand why the NFL is doing that to back up guys who fouled the play up.
Well, and that, very, that you may very well be right, because the NFL's VP of officiating, Dean Blandino, told NFL.com Tuesday that the final lateral was a backwards throw from Ben. Actually, he didn't really say that. Here's what he said, and if you listen to it, Steve, he kind of says a little bit of what you were saying right there, that it may not have been. But here's what he said. It would have counted because it's not clear whether or not he threw the ball forward or backward. Since no flag was thrown on the play, the call on the field would have stood, and the call on the field was that Roethlisberger's lateral was legal.
That's what
I said the other day.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, that does make sense.
That's what I said the other day. There's not enough video evidence to override it.
Jeez, God, Kevin, I watched it live and thought it was forward. Right, and believe me, I wanted the guy to score. I mean, it was an exciting play, and I thought, oh, this thing's coming back, because that's how obvious I thought it was. I thought it was that obvious. You know, I mean, I watch a lot of football. It's like, okay.
I applaud the official on the sideline, though. He was right on the foot stepping out of bounds, and he was looking at it the entire time.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. And I would have wiped it out, but that's just me. I would have wiped it out. Okay. So that's what they say. Like I said, live, I thought it was forward.
Well, here's the thing. Like, it doesn't really matter anyway. I mean, let's face it. He was out of bounds. Who cares?
Right.
It's over.
Yeah, I know. So. News bottom of the hour. Then whether Nick Saban's taking the Shikellamy job or not.
Now, don't start a rumor there. I don't need phone calls.
I'd hire him. Why not?
He might be up for the Texas job, though.
Maybe he's up for the Shikellamy job.
Todd Tilford is fine. Fine.
All right. You say so. Trying to put a little more jazz in the valley.
Thank you. No, we don't need to be Texas around here. We're good.
You sure?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keyroots 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I think I said back in September on the Penn State football show from Damon's that if John Urschel did not win the Campbell Award, they should disband the Campbell Award. Last night he won the Campbell Award. So, and he won it last night. I mean, look, when you're a first-team All-Big Ten selection, when you are a 4.0 academic, when you have a standard degree and a master's degree, and you teach a class, you are the Campbell Award winner. And he won the Campbell Award last night, and justifiably so. I mean, he's accomplished a lot in his life. But John also has a deep desire to be known as a good football player. He wants to be a draftable football player. So it's not just, I mean, the academic side has been great to get his name and reputation out there and his work ethic out there. He also wants to be known as a really good football player, and he is a very good football player.
Who else was up with him for that award? Do you remember?
Irrelevant.
That was going to be my point. Yeah.
I believe A.J. McCarron, but I don't really. And that's nothing against the other candidates. The other candidates are terrific candidates. It's just when a guy's teaching a class, a high-level class, I mean, that's a little bit different animal. And it did help that he made first-team All-Big Ten. If he doesn't make first-team All-Big Ten, you know, I mean, certain things have to fall into place. So you have to show that you're also a really good football player. For example, Barrett Jones won the award last year, who had played all three line positions for Alabama, was outstanding, a real leader on that team, great academically, the whole nine yards. And Barrett Jones deserved to win the Campbell Award last year. Well, John Urschel deserved to win it this year, and it turned out he did. So, and I think that's great that he did. And as for the other candidates, look, the other candidates also did an awesome job in school. This is a day where it's going to be very painful to say this, but this is a day where at least something I agree with Mark Emmert on. Oh, I felt a twinge.
What's the world coming to?
Well, but this deals with something Jim Delaney talked about, and we'll go back to it. And that is about student-athletes and the 19-year-old rule in the NBA and also paying student-athletes. And he says, look, pay-for-play isn't coming soon. And he's right, and nor should it be. I'm really getting a little, and I don't like the fact that the media is jumping in on this, trying to make college sports semi-pro sports. I don't like this. I think they should knock out all the rules when it comes to when you can turn pro. You want to turn pro when you're 18 years old? Go ahead and turn pro. Get slaughtered and move on. Okay? Become a ditch digger. I mean, that's, you know, for every LeBron James, there are 20 others that can't do it. In fact, for every LeBron James, there are 200 others that can't do it. And one of the problems that the NBA had for a long period of time until they put in this 19-year-old one-year rule was the league was becoming extremely immature. Immature in terms of the locker room, immature in terms of the play on the floor. And, of course, teams can't resist. Now, obviously, there are certain players that have made a beautiful transition from high school to the show. LeBron James, Exhibit A. Kobe Bryant. But it took Kobe Bryant 2 years before he finally started to become the Kobe Bryant we see today. His first 2 years in Los Angeles, he struggled. Kevin Garnett took him a little while, too, but he really carried the Timberwolves franchise for a long time. I can give you a long list of players that tried to make the transition and got nothing out of it. I think to force an 18-year-old to go to college for a year in order to make the next step in life isn't right either. Now, I had always been for the NFL rule, by the way, is 3 years. You must be in college for 3 years before you're eligible for the NFL draft. So you can be a true junior or a redshirt sophomore, and then you're eligible for the NFL draft. In the NBA, it must be 1 year and 19. I had said when the rule came out, gee, I'd like to see 2 years and 20. But while the league is for 2 years and 20, the Players Association is not. So fine. The both leagues ought to just open it up. The NBA has the D-League. You want to languish in the D-League, and you want to play in Erie, you want to play in Idaho, you want to play in Austin, you want to play wherever, Maine, right? And that's where you want to play pro basketball, play in the D-League. Fine, go ahead. I mean, let's face it, you look at the Gordon kid at Arizona, Jabari Parker, Wiggins at Kansas, and, oh, I can't think of the center off the top of my head from Kentucky. But you look at those guys, okay, they all want to be NBA players. Okay, now, do we get the privilege of seeing them play in the college game? Sure. Will it weaken the college game? Possibly. Possibly. But the college game will still be fine. College game will still thrive. People will still watch the NCAA tournament because competition is relative. The venue I'm in right now has hosted NCAA tournament games. They'd still have a lot of people in this building who watch NCAA tournament games if Jabari Parker, Wiggins, and Gordon weren't a part of the mix. Competition is relative. Just like it's really important to win a District 4 champ, but District 4 is not the strongest district in the state. I apologize if I offended anybody, but I think the coaches will tell you that too. There are certain things where they're really good. Certain things right now they aren't. It all goes in cycles. And I think I remember talking to Bill O'Brien briefly about this. And he said, if a high school guy were trying to make a transition to the NFL, he'd get killed. Yeah, he would. Imagine the team dumb enough to draft him. Look, you want to go? Go. College isn't your bag? Go. And the pay-for-play model, you're already getting paid. Okay, I just wrote another check last week. How come I'm writing checks and you're not?
Yeah, Matt, just think about last week we had Mr. Kaiser on the phone and how relieved he was. Yep. That not only did his son get a scholarship for his son's case, but also, I'm sure, to help the financial situation.
Well, but that was the purpose behind my question to Ben Kaiser. The purpose behind my question to Ben Kaiser was simple, because here's a guy who's a walk-on at Penn State, who's now a starter at Penn State, who gets a scholarship, and suddenly the family doesn't have to pay his tuition anymore. That's the value of a scholarship right there. That family will tell you right now exactly what the value of a scholarship means in their household in Selins Grove, Pennsylvania. It's the value of that and everything that goes with it. Everything that goes with it. Remember that right now you're walking around campus and it's, 22 degrees right now. Well, guess what? Those athletes have coats. Where they get the coats from? Got it from the equipment room. Nike. Didn't have to pay for them. Okay, that's a small thing. Training table. Okay, meals. Place to stay. And a chance to get an education. The value of the scholarship is that by the time you're done, a university, if you go through 5 years at a university on a scholarship, I'll add a red shirt year in there, you're talking about between $200,000 and $250,000. They spend nearly $250,000 on you. $250,000 on you. The NCAA and schools have done an absolutely mediocre job of explaining the value of a scholarship. And that's the truth. They've done a lousy job of explaining the value of a scholarship. And that value of the scholarship, look, you have seven sports now dropped at Robert Morris in this town, seven sports being dropped at Temple across the state. Okay? Coaches are going to be out of jobs, assistant coaches are going to be out of jobs, and also there's going to be a loss of scholarships as well. Ask those families how they feel as they scramble now. The value of it. Okay. Is something that the NCAA and member schools do a lousy job of explaining. Now, the EA Sports situation, where likenesses are used, the NCAA knows it's in trouble on. Kevin, you play the game religiously. Is there any doubt who's out there playing for you on your video?
No, there's not. It may not have a name there, and the image may not look exactly right, but when you have the statistics, you know, the performance based on statistics, you're right, there is no doubt.
And there's no doubt. But I think that the 19-year-old one-year scenario for the NBA, just scrap it. Go back to the 18-year-old thing. Let them go as many as they want. Hey, go out. Hire yourself an agent. Knock yourself out. And by the way, when it doesn't go well, you can't play college basketball. You're a pro. That's why they formed the D-League. Same thing with college football. Get rid of the three-year thing. Go for it. There isn't anybody that's mature enough to do this. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney wanted to go after being a sophomore. You know what? He wasn't that good this year. You know that? Did you watch him play? I saw Clowney play like four or five games this year on TV. Really? Am I missing something on him? I mean, he actually said, I need to take on a bigger role. You're a defensive end. What role do you want? What do you want to do? A tight end? You want to be a second? What do you want to do? The secondary? What do you want to do?
See that quarterback? Sack
him. Defensive
end.
See
the guy with the football? Tackle him. That's your job.
Okay. I mean, see ball, get ball. We're done. There's your job. See ball, get ball. Most student athletes are smart enough to know that they're in the right spot at this point in their lives. It is a huge leap from high school to college. It is not a small leap. It is a huge leap from high school to college. And the leap from college to the pros is even steeper. In the NBA, you have a total of 360 players. Could expand to 384 here if they decide to expand the league, put a team in Seattle and Las Vegas, pick one. Major League Baseball doesn't seem to have a problem with making this work. The NHL definitely doesn't have a problem with making it work. But the NBA and the NFL, now the NFL has not had any problems. Nobody's tried to challenge them or anything like that in the three-year rule. But this idea that there needs to be some sort of compensation, you're already being compensated just because you are physically not okay. You know what they should do? Okay, for one semester, hand them the money in cash and have them go to the bursar's office themselves and have them pay it. Where they actually see there's a physical exchange of, here you go, here's the cash. Don't spend it, because guess what? You'll have to make up for anything you spend, because you've got to pay your tuition over here. Here's the cash. You go to the bursar's office, hand them the cash. And remember, they qualify for grant money. If you go through and you fill out an economic need form on a grant, and they determine you have economic need not based on your scholarship, but based on your family situation and your situation, you qualify. And for anybody who's filled out a FAFSA form in your life for the first time for a student, you have to go through, in order to finally qualify to get the loan money, one of the questions they ask you is, if you get a grant and it goes beyond what you owe, you have to send the money back or keep it? Guess what the answer is? You get to keep it. You don't think student-athletes aren't getting grant money? You don't think student-athletes aren't being told, apply for a grant? There's a lot more to this. Okay. You don't hear the Mike Lupicas of the world getting on sports reporters on Sunday morning because they're not prepared enough. They don't know all the rules. They just know they have to fill up a half an hour and be the loudest guy in the room. If you're going to go out and argue about it, okay, be prepared. Know what the rules are. Doesn't take long to find out. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Make it a Hyundai holiday from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Every day will be a fun day at a new Hyundai from SMC. Right now, get the absolute best buy in central Pennsylvania with a brand new Hyundai Sonata Hybrid. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has over 20 Sonatas in stock with up to $5,038 knocked off. You can buy a $27,000 hybrid for only $21,997. Plus, get over 40 miles per gallon. To make it the best Christmas present ever, your new Sonata even has a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And get this, a lifetime hybrid battery warranty. Imagine a 2013 Hyundai Elantra under the tree. Now imagine 0% financing for 6 full years. That's right, 0% financing on a 2013 Hyundai Elantra. Save $3,240 in interest charges. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has over 80 new Hyundais with huge Hyundai holiday discounts.
They all gotta move.
Make it a Hyundai holiday with Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. I think kind of an embarrassing number for moment today for the four-letter network. Breaking news, Kirk Cousins starting at quarterback. That's breaking news? That's just a note, a footnote. It's a last-place team. I mean, it's not like the 49, like the if Seattle suddenly benched Russell Wilson in first place and driving for the Super Bowl, that might be breaking news. A last-place team changing quarterbacks and making another guy inactive is an important story but not breaking news, I don't think. Did I miss something? I mean, they're in last place. It doesn't change the balance of power at all.
But look back to that draft. How brilliant do the Redskins look for picking up Kirk Cousins in that draft now?
Well, I said that the day they drafted him.
Yes, you did.
Remember that? I said I thought it was a brilliant move because it gave them a good young quarterback as a backup that wasn't going to be a threat to taking the starting job but was going to be a really good player for them. I thought it was smart, you know, especially when you look at the frame of RG3. RG3's frame, as dynamic as he can be, is still frail. And I want to be fair to him, and this is how I want to be fair to RG3. Next year, I think, is a make-or-break year for him because he is still not 1 year removed from a torn ACL. It's always that second year where you're really back to full strength. If he plays the same way next year, then it's a problem and the Redskins have to do something. But I think people and Zay, you just don't like, hey, I'm 100, here we go. It takes, even with today's modern surgical methods, especially using the three-cut method on a scope, it's still a torn ACL. And normally, it takes 9 months, and then you're functional, but you're really back to full strength the second year. That would be next year. I think that's about as fair as I can be about his situation.